Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Our reading today comes from James chapter 5, verses 7 to 18. And it reads like this. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. This is the word of the Lord.
Yes, greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. I bring greetings from Sydney. It's so good to be here with you. Whenever I come here, it's like coming home, because I have got my story family here. I think most of them are here. So, you know, I feel very at home being here. So, I really like the series that you're doing with your church here, The Gospel in Action. And I want to emphasize the word in action. It is so very important for us to know that all scriptures have been inspired by God and is useful for teaching and rebuking and all that. We call the Word of God recorded in the Bible the Word of God from God's mouth. So when all that we read today, just picture God saying that to us this morning. So whatever I'm going to share today through the Bible, picture God saying that to you, because He knows what you're going through right now. I don't. He does. So therefore, we need to pray. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be here with your children here today. Thank you so much for being here today, Lord, because we know that you're going to speak to them through me. Put away anything that are in my notes that's not supposed to come out. But speak, Lord, while we listen to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I tell you, this thing will jump up and down, so you just have to put up with me while I scroll them around. You heard the reading today. And I've got 3 points that I want to talk about. The very first point is, better introduce what it is. Gospel in action. I am sure you were introduced to James, the writer of this book. I'm sure you have been introduced to him, the half-brother of Jesus. So I'll just say it for those who don't know, who haven't been here when you were introduced to James. James was the brother of Jesus, half-brother of Jesus. But the funny thing about James was he did not really believe Jesus' ministry while he was here on earth. So in verse 1 and 6 of this chapter that we read today, he was talking to the people, to the non-believers. And he was explaining to them things that are going to happen to them because they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he called them wicked people. So in verse 7 to 18 that we read about today, now James is talking to you, Christians. So he's just bear that in mind. He's talking to you because you're here because you do know Jesus Christ. And most of you have got relationships with Jesus Christ. Well, all of you should have relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's talking about being patient during suffering. So what is patience? Patience, I got it from Google. Patience is the ability to wait or to continue doing something despite difficulties or without complaining and becoming annoyed like we all do when people do things to us. Patience says, no, you keep calm. Don't be resentful and bitter. Maybe some of you are going through stuff right now. Maybe some of you have been mistreated and have been lied about or accused wrongly about things. And I'm sure you all did. But you said to yourself, I really don't want to make a scene. That's patience, people. If you have been there doing that, I am really proud of you because that's patience. Church, no. I'm so glad we've got a lot of young people here. Young people, no. Jesus never promised a storm-free life. He never did. But the beautiful thing about this Jesus that we are worshiping, he teaches us how to navigate yourself out of those storms. And that's the beautiful thing about this God that we are serving. So to help us understand that more, James gives us 3 examples. First, the farmer. Second, the prophet. And then third, Job. The first point that I want to talk about is when we can have patience when we know we're working for a goal. Young people, so very important. Don't just live your life without a goal. Have a goal. Quite a lot of young people I talk to and ask, so what's your goal? And they love to share that with me. So we pray about it. Young people, have a goal. Young parents, have a goal. So the question for you today, what do you really want the most out of this world? You all have your answers. And the word today about the farmers will help you get to that thing that you love the most. So whatever you want in your life, James is saying, be like the farmers. Farmers are patient people. They know they must wait for a long time. Why? Because they do know that there's going to be fruits. Because they know that the fruits are coming and it's a process. So they are very, very patient people. And they know that after planting, they don't just sit and wait for the fruit. No, young people, you don't just dream about things. You dream, and there's work you need to be done. See, the farmers, after planting, they go weed, you know, those weeds. They remove those weeds because they compete with the crops for nutrients and sunlight and all those stuff, good stuff. So if you don't weed those things, they're going to compete with the crops. Now, the other thing that they do, they monitor for the pests and the diseases, and they take appropriate actions to control the impact on their crops. They manage the water supply to ensure that there is moisture in there, especially when it's dry periods. James is saying to you, young people, when I say young people, that means you, because I'm older than all of you. So young people, James is saying, while you're waiting for Christ to come, while you're waiting for that dream to be fulfilled, you have got work to do. And the very first thing that you do, weed away those weeds in your life, those bad attitudes, those jealousy, whatever you're going through, whatever those negative things. James is saying, weed them away. Otherwise, it's going to affect that dream that you have. It's going to delay the fulfillment of that. So young people, weed them out. If you didn't know, if you didn't weed them out today, God is saying, weed them out. Check the water supply. Make sure that your life is what's the word I'm looking for? Make sure there's enough water in there to moisture your life. And you do that with the word of God. You do that. You don't just read it. I just said, you know, I love this series because the gospel in action. Jesus wants you to put what you know, what you read, apply it in action. You know, Jesus was saying to one of the preacher, I think, he said, go away. I really do not know you. Why? Because he was just talking and no action. Young people, it's very important to Jesus that you learn these words from his mouth, and then you put it into action. Because when you put it into action, you really understand what he's talking about. So it's very important that we put those into action. Church, what do you do with the words that you get every Sunday? You know, some of you, this is your first time. So maybe you go to another church. So what do you do with those words? Today, God is saying, apply it just like the farmers. You know, and then you will get that beautiful dream that you were dreaming about. Just know that dream was not yours. God put that dream in your heart. It's God's dream. So therefore, you need to go back to God and say, well, how do I fulfill this dream? You know, I'm not so sure if you know the story of Joseph. God gave him the dream, and it took Joseph 13 years to get to the fulfillment of his dream. And that 13 years, he went through hell on earth because of the things that people were doing to him. Young people, you will be going through those stuff. But don't be like me. When I went through those stuff, I said, Lord, what did I do to deserve this? You know? But when you ask those questions to God, He understands. Many a times, He comes back. And He says to me, okay, you want to know? This is what it is. And then He let me know. Young people, have that relationship with God. Know that you will be going through hell. Why? You know why? Because God is preparing you for the fulfillment of that dream, but you're not ready. So all those troubles that you go through, it's God's way of preparing you to get to that dream. So young people, don't give up on your dream when those rejections come through. Like I said, we can have patience when we know we're working for a goal. When Nelly, I have two biological children, but I have got quite a lot of, Jesus blessed me with a lot of children. But my two biological children were Nelly and Rowena. And when they were little, I'm speaking now to the young mothers and young fathers. When they were young, my goal for them was first to know God and to love God. That's all I wanted for them. And for education, I said to them, whatever you want to do in life, I really don't mind. But get a degree on that thing, whatever it is. Have a goal. And then when you have that goal, make sure you take it to the Lord. Because He says in His word, make your plans, give it to me to bless. So don't just make plans and leave it in your head. Take it to God. Pray. This is my plan. You know, I really want you to bless that plan. And have this saying, if my plan does not go with yours, I'm quite willing for you to delete part that does not go with yours. Make sense? Yeah. And when you have that kind of attitude, God will come in and will help you. I tell you, will help you. Was it easy for me to go through with those plans with my children? No, it wasn't. There were weeds, so we kept pulling them out. It's so, so hard when you see those weeds, but that's what it is. You pull them out, parents. And you water the life of your young people with the word of God. Let the young people see you in action. Don't just talk about it. See you in action with the words that you're doing. The other thing we did was devotion. And then we gave them the opportunity to lead. But luckily for us, in those days, our Sunday school we joined the Sunday School Union. And in the Sunday School Union, they have musical festival competitions. And those competitions, they were singing like solos, duets, trios, quartets, and choirs. There was Bible reading competition, there was preaching the word competition, and there was drama, name it, there was competitions for it all. There were playing the piano competitions. And that was the platform that God provided for us to develop these young people. And God will give you a platform, young parents. God will give you a platform Church is one of the platforms, but there are things out there, but everything starts from the home. Fathers, mothers, do your job. Do your job. Make a goal for your children and then see it through. This is crazy. But we went to school because I was teaching and they were in my school in primary years. And then from high school to uni, we dropped them off and we picked them up. Maybe some of you can't do that, but I was in a position to do that. Right up to their last lecture in university, we dropped them off and we picked them up. Sometimes it was 11 o'clock at night when they ring, we finished. Sometimes, because I told them, do all your schoolwork, all your studies in there, because there's a library there for you to do all that. And when you come home, it's mom and dad time. So have a plan. That was not me. That was the Holy Spirit, because we gave the plan to the Holy Spirit. And the other thing, they knew that after Form 7, they will go to Bible college. Why? Because life in university, I knew that it's terrible, full of wicked and things in there. And some lectures will tell things that is opposite, you know, the way I believe. So they were supposed to go to Form 7 before they go to, was that my plan? No, that was God's plan. That, yeah, I planned it and gave it to God, and then he walked me through it. So when I look back, young people, do that with your children. It says here that when you have a plan, when you have a goal, it really helps you. It gives you patience. Now let me find my position. My second point is, how much do you trust God? That's the question for all of us. How much do you trust God? See, when we go through hell on earth, which is something that I went through a lot, many a times, that's when God knows where your trust is. So how much do you trust God? You see, church, when we go through tough times, the thing that we need more is patience. But when you're under pressure and the weight of the pressure is too much for you, be careful. Be careful, because our words and our actions and our bad attitude might fly all over the place, and you will act not the same way as you used to. So be very, very careful. Did you know that when you learn patience through trials, and this is what James is saying, you learn it through trial. So if I were you, I will not pray for patience, because God will give you trials to go through it, so to practice your faith, your patience. Then we come to the story of Job, which is in Job chapter 2 and verse 1 to 3. And I really want you to participate. Let's read it. So what is God saying? He was so proud of James, of Job. Can he say the same thing about you? Can he say that about you? He was so, so proud of Job. Just know, Satan will never give up. He will try again and again and again. But know that the Jesus in you is greater than that, Satan. He's greater than you. And he will never win. Please know, hear me. He will never win unless you open the door and let him in. He has no power in you. He has no power at all. So Satan's plan is to make you impatient and make you give up. When you want to give up, just know it's not God. Whatever excuse or reason why you want to give up, just know it's not God. So really, really have that relationship with God. See, when Job went into this, when he was suffering, he wanted a friend or someone to help. Friends came, and they cried with him for 7 days. And that was really good. That was excellent. But then, after that 7 days, they got tired. So they started to blame Job and saying, "Oh, mate, I'm sure you did something wrong to God. That's why you're going through hell on earth." And Job said, "Well, not that I know of. Didn't do anything wrong." But the other thing, the wife. Yes, the wife was supposed to encourage him. And what did he say? "Job, you might as well give up. Give up and die." Would you say that to your husband? How stupid this woman was. Job, anyway, finally said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. I came with nothing and I'm going to go home with nothing. So bless the Lord. And you know, church, there is hope, because in Job 42, God restored everything. See, the thing that happened to Job was God took everything, his wealth, and even his 7 children. You think you had a bad day? That was a really terrible day. Can you put yourself in Job's shoes? Can you picture that happening to you? That was really horrible. I would have said, "Oh Lord, what did I do to deserve this?" See, but Job didn't. The thing is, people, in Job 42, God restored all Job's wealth. As a matter of fact, he doubled it. So whatever you go through, just know God will restore whatever the devil stole from you while you're going through hell. Know that. He will restore. He even restored 7 of his children. So his later life was much better than his first life. And I'm talking from experience, young people. My life now is much better than when I was young like you. So I'm talking from experience. Put up with it and stay with God. And if you say, "What did I do to deserve this?" That's okay. He understands and he will walk you through it. He will restore what the devil took away from you. Wives, be supportive. You know, don't be like Mrs. Job. Wife, understand this. Don't ever underestimate your influence. Your words of affirmation is very important to your husband. I promise you, your promise might not be able to get it, to get through whatever he goes through if you're not there. So don't ever underestimate your words of affirmation. Very important. Very, very important. See, in New Zealand, before we started our my family, and before we were called to ministry, both my husband and I were really earning good salaries, so that we contributed a lot to the running of the church. And the funny thing that we saw, that they really listened to our suggestions of things to run the church and all that. And then I stopped working to start my family. And you can picture the contribution we did to the church was not as healthy as before. And that's when I saw the difference in the people's reaction, especially the pastor. And I thought, wow, really? I was teaching the choir, and that was taken away from me too. So whatever you go through, people, God knows. But that was God's way of preparing me for this ministry when he called me into full-time ministry to pastor a church. That was his way of preparing me to say, make sure this does not happen to the people that you are going to pastor. So whatever it is that you're going through, people, know that God is in control of your life. See, when I fully understood, when I go through hell on earth, that God is preparing me for the next level of my journey, that's when I patience. That's when peace came. And this is the kind of conversation I had with God when I fully understood that. All right, Lord, so what are you teaching me now? What am I doing that I'm not supposed to be doing? What am I not doing that I'm supposed to do? Believe you me, he came straight and said, well, this is that, and I thought, oh, okay. You will have that kind of relationship. I want you to have that kind of relationship earlier than I got, because I really didn't get it right. But you see, you hear this. I don't think I heard this kind of teaching in my young days. Or maybe there was, but I wasn't really paying attention. People, pay attention. Then apply it. God will see you through. Whatever you go through, God will see you through. He did it for Job. He did it for me. And he will definitely do it for you. God is so faithful that he will not let you down. But thing is, keep crying to the Lord. Keep crying. Now we come to Elijah. The question is, what was it about Elijah that his prayers and his life was so powerful and effective? What can we learn from Elijah's life for our own prayer life? The story of Elijah is very interesting. We don't have time to go through it today. But if you're really interested, it's very important, because you will learn quite a lot from it. And it's in the first book of Kings, and chapter 17 to chapter 19, if you're interested in the life of Elijah. This is the man that totally depended on God. And that's his message for you and for me today. Totally depend on God, because he knows how to take you from here to there. You don't. Well, you think you do, but you don't really know the right way to go there and the shortcuts. You want shortcuts? You think you can take a shortcut? No, God knows the shortcut for you to get there. And your part is obey and he'll show it to you. You, whatever it is, just obey. It doesn't matter how hard it is, but just obey, and God will show you. So he totally depended on God. And the other thing is, he never stopped praying until he sees the answer to his prayer, sees the breakthrough. And that's his message for all of us today. Don't stop praying. Keep praying. But I'll add on to that, because Jesus says there are some things that prayers can't really do, but you need to pray and fast about it. See, that's the beautiful thing, parents. See, I was introduced by my parents at the age of 15 to fast. And there are some things in your life that prayer cannot. Jesus said, those things you only prayer and fast. So please, parents, fast. Whatever goal you have, fast and pray for your children. I really, really love the way Elijah never stopped until he saw the answer to his prayers. So how much do you trust God? How much? See, when I was told to tell you as many stories as possible, so this is one of them. See, when Nelly first got married, he moved to Singapore, and there I was. I thought, oh gosh, I think I've lost my son. You know? And I said, oh Lord, oh, so I have to save up to fly from New Zealand to Singapore perhaps once a year to spend time with him. And then he started his family, had three kids. And I got very anxious about my grandchildren growing up not knowing me. And this is how God fulfilled that dream. First, he gave me a promise, and that promise, it's in Psalm 37. If you take notes, Psalm 37 and verse 4. And he says, delight yourself in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. And I thought, it's just easy as that. No, it's not easy. See, the thing is, you have that promise, and then all these things will be thrown at you. And that is when the promise makes sense. Oh, so I will just have to keep delighting myself in the Lord. First, he said, get married. But that was the thing that I never wanted to do again. Because Nellie's dad passed away, and I had a great marriage. I don't want to get married again. But that was the thing that he said, get married. And I said, and this is what I said, Lord, it has to be you. So you just have to make it clear that it's you, because I'm not going to do it if it's not you. I set conditions like Gideon, and every condition I set, the answer was yes. Until, see, God knows you. God knew that if I don't clearly hear from him, I will never do it. So there was prayer meeting, and of course there's quite a lot of young people in our Newland church that have gone out to take the gospel, so that our church always pray for them. And I clearly heard the Lord saying, the church is not just going to pray for the kids, they are going to pray for you too, because I'm sending you. And I thought, oh, okay, now that's clear, no more excuses. You know how we make excuses to get out of things? I thought, well, I can't really be God. So, okay, I agree, I got married, but here's the beautiful part, young people. 2 years after I moved into Australia, into Sydney, on Mother's Day, Nellie and Tina were ordained as senior pastors here. Mother's Day? Mother's Day? And I thought, oh Lord, you are so funny. Thank you so much. And after the service that day, we went for lunch. And then Nellie was saying, Mom, is there anything you want me to pray for you? I said, yes, just thank the Lord. And then I shared what I've just shared with you. And people walked around because we were hugging, we were, you know, praising God on the roadside. Well, you can get crazy when God does things like that for you. God is real, people. If you're not really sure, He is real. This is a walking example of someone that was really not so good at your age, but He walked with me. This time of my life, I'm very peaceful, very peaceful. And I want that for you. I really do. That's why I am saying what I'm saying and telling you what I went through, because I want you to have peace. I really want you to have peace. We're nearly there. I like this part, this last part. I really like this. Pray for each other when I can find where I got it. You see, church, I pray and fast for you. This church, every Wednesday, just know there's a mother out there or a grandmother out there that is really fasting and praying for you. If you are leading a ministry in here, just know that I'm covering you with my prayer and fast. I'm not saying this to boast, but I'm saying this to know, to encourage you that there's a mother out there praying and fast for you. If you're leading a ministry, your children are covered. Because whenever I fast and pray for you, I see myself in the shadow of God. In Psalm 91, verse 1 and verse 4, I see myself in God's secret place, lifting you all up to Him. I have seen the answer to prayers and fast. And I'm so glad that my parents introduced that to me. I'm so glad that my young brother, the baby of our family is here. I would like you to stand up. This is my brother. Mom passed away when he was only 8. Dad passed away when he was 13. So we got him to go to school in New Zealand. And this is a perfect example of prayer and fast. He went through a lot, and the prayers and the fast went on, and he's doing so, so well. His children are doing so well. Like, his eldest has got PhD, the second one has got master's, the third one has got bachelor. Young people, that's the answer to prayer and fast. Whatever you go through, pray and fast about it. He will come through for you. He will definitely come through to you. I've got more, but I feel the Lord is saying, you've got the message. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for this time together with our family here today. We are so grateful that you spoke to us. Lord, we have no one to thank but you. You are so real in our lives. You know what the young people are going through. Only you know. Lord, I pray that you fulfill their needs, every need that they have. Pray, Lord, that you fulfill every single one of them. I pray this in and through the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and everyone say, Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.